This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a new place you've been to or a recipe you want to share, or you just want to chat with us. Again, 866-823-1077. We'd also love for you to like our Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/foodforthoughtwithcarol, and we have all of our upcoming guests. We have pictures of our past guests, and it's just a fun, interactive Facebook page. So, well, it's Friday.
Yes, thank
And
goodness.
We made it.
We did make it, yes.
We made it.
Yes, and there's always something fun about Friday. It's just everybody's mood gets a little lighter and a little more excited because
exactly.
It's that end of the week, the beginning of the weekend.
Yes, and you know what? I also need to remind listeners, we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. You know, if you haven't had lunch yet, it's just a little bit past noon. You can come on down and have lunch with us. And actually, speaking of lunch, if you do come down, Midtown Cafe today, which is right at 814 Elm Street, come right in the front door. Today, their special is a lamb pita pocket. It's a fresh lamb that they made this morning here. And it is with sauteed onions and peppers in a pita pocket with some feta cheese.
It is.
And we had some. Isn't it amazing?
Amazing. You know, and I've got to say, I am not a big lamb person just in general. Like, I could kind of take it or leave it because it has a very distinct flavor. I had some of the lamb here and it was amazing. It was flavorful. It had a nice blend of spices that does not overpower the lamb. It's just a perfect harmony. And you can tell it tastes like it's been cooked out on the grill.
Yes.
I mean, it has all of those perfect ingredients. And that's just the lamb, never mind blending it with everything else.
All the other stuff.
Oh.
Yes.
It was fantastic. So, yes, you are right, Carol. It is a great day to come down, have lamb, hang out with us, celebrate the fact that it's Friday, and we've all made it this far.
I know.
Through a snowy week.
And it's going to be another snowy week next week.
Yeah, it is.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
It's going to start again on Sunday again?
Well, that's what I hear. And, you know, I always give those predictions, you know, I pay attention a little bit, but then I'm thinking, well, we'll wait and see when it gets a little closer.
Did you
see
the
band? They've been, no. I'm like an ostrich. I'm just sticking my head in the sand. I don't want to know.
Well, I looked at it, and it's not pretty.
It's not.
No, it's not.
We're
going to
get hit again. Yeah.
And now they're saying Sunday to Tuesday.
Yeah. And it's the snow, driving in the snow. Of course, now we're all pretty accustomed to it. You know what you need to do. When you get to your destination, you will find the parking spaces everywhere have shrunk because there's so much snow out there. There's really no place to go. So, it does make things a little different. But again, you know, it's New Hampshire.
It's snow.
It's winter.
This is what happens. That's right.
So we're going to love it.
Hopefully the end is coming soon.
Absolutely. You got it. Hey, but we do want to give a shout out to our sponsors. We are so thankful for them making this show possible. And we definitely want to say hello to our friends at Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord. And they feature elegant and affordable jewelry as well as precision repair. Also, Integrity Health, I almost said holistic. It is holistic health coaching solutions at integrityfit.com. They are a coaching solutions company, and we have heard from Rocco from Integrity Health. And he joins us each Monday to give us not only some health tips, but to check in with how things are going on Carol's journey toward fitness and health. And, of course, the Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, Milford, and soon in Londonderry. And Belmont Hall at 718 Grove Street in Manchester. And New England Coffee is our official coffee of Food for Thought. And Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord. And they have olive oils, balsamic vinegars, all kinds of things. And if you don't know your way around either one, you will find Sharla there smiling and ready to help guide your choices. And it is definitely worth finding out about.
It is. You know, I have been cooking healthy, thinking healthy, and eating healthy. 2 full days, 100%. Today so far, 100%.
Yep.
So I'm pretty proud of myself. But Sharla's extra virgin olive oils are helping so much. And I told Daryl we need to go up and get some different flavors because I've been using that cilantro and roasted onion.
Yes, yes.
You know, it is amazing. I was telling Peter about it this morning. Peter St. James visited the studio this morning because he was doing his show from the Radisson. There's a fish and game show
going on.
And I was telling him about the extra virgin olive oils and the flavors. And you know, you can really, like sometimes when you get flavored stuff like that, you can't really taste the flavors.
Right,
you know
right. I mean? They like, say that they it's say infused it. With whatever and you're not sure.
Exactly. Yeah. These, you can really taste it.
Yes.
I mean, with the vegetables, I love it.
Yeah, and there are so many things that you can do with them. Like you said, you can put them on your vegetables, roast your vegetables with that in the
oven. Even your
oven
chicken.
There. Yeah.
I mean, I put a little when I, you know, sautéed my chicken and it's really good.
Very good stuff. And as I said, I had done my popcorn that way and it gave really some neat added flavor to popcorn. You know, there was an interesting story that I saw about popcorn. You know, I try to do my best when I'm cooking my popcorn to make sure that I pop all that I can because I do not like the Old Maids, the kernels in the bottom. They're if you get a mouthful of them, you feel like you're going to break a tooth and it's awful. They are now saying that there are under-popped popcorns that is a new delicacy. They're trying this in Washington. So, you know, a lot of unusual things come out
of
Washington State. They are doing some semi-popped kernels at a place and calling it half pops. He's marketing this. You can get it online. He's adding different flavors to the popcorn, doing something to almost pop it, but so that it's just a little bit softer, but it's not popped. So it's half popped.
Really?
Just the thought of it doesn't appeal to me.
Me neither.
But there are people who love the kernels that don't pop. And I just always feel like I'm going to lose. That's going to be expensive dental work right there.
It's kind of strange.
It is kind of strange. But if it's out there and it's being marketed
people
with
must
all these
like
flavors,
it.
Yes. So maybe it's something we need to try and find out if we're missing something.
I guess.
Little adventure in popcorn.
Little adventure for sure. My gosh. Let me see. Let's see. Food reference today. You know what today is?
What is today?
Today is not good for radio.
Okay.
It's bubblegum day.
Oh, yeah. That is very true. That is not good for radio.
I was going to bring some bubblegum and start chomping, but I didn't think that would be very good. But today's National Bubblegum Day.
Ah.
And it's also National Frozen Yogurt Day.
Ooh.
Which that's kind of strange in the middle of the winter like this.
It is.
To have National Frozen Yogurt Day.
Yeah.
It is, and
you would think that would be more a summertime thing. You know, speaking of the bubblegum thing, the two big, transitions in bubblegum that I really remember, one when I was a very little kid, and you'd get the Bazooka Joe. What was
the
that?
Pink.
Yeah, the
pink
little
with
hard
the little line in the middle.
Yeah, that you had to have it in your mouth for like half an hour before it was soft enough for you to chew. and again, we're looking at some dental work, expensive dental work probably.
I
think I lost a lot of teeth.
Didn't
that
have
way.
A little comic in there too?
Yes, Bazooka
to, like,
Joe was the guy, and he had a bazooka.
Yeah.
And I never understood the comics, but it was just a big privilege to open the thing. And didn't it come with baseball cards? I don't remember. I'm sure listeners remember.
I don't know. I mean, do they still
Bob
have those?
Must know. I don't know if they still have them. I don't know.
That is so
but
cool.
But then you transition along, and the big bubblegum I remember, and this was a bad one to have in school, remember Hubba Bubba?
Yes.
And it was for my friend and I, it was the big long things. It was a fistful of gum. One piece was like a fistful. You'd stick that in your cheek, look like you were a baseball player. And the teacher would go, Jeannie, are you chewing gum?
No.
How do you get away with that? That's just not happening. And then if you do blow a bubble, it covers your face if it pops.
Oh, gosh, I can just see you now, Jeannie.
Yes. Of course, I was an angelic child, but I would imagine that could have happened.
Oh my gosh, I'm just picturing that. That's funny. All right. Well, for those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought. We are on a new time. We're just finishing our first week, just about. And we're on noon to 2, Monday through Friday. And we are going to go on a short break. And when we come back, we are going to be in studio with Jeff Reardon of Toastmasters in Concord, Horseshoe Pond Toastmasters in Concord. And I'm really excited to hear about what he has to say and exactly what Toastmasters is all about. I know a little bit about it, but I'm anxious to hear about it. So stay tuned, and Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
All right. Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me is Jeannie Lester. We're on 107.7 FM, and we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch with us. You can come and have barbecue lamb and a pita pocket with sautéed onions and peppers and feta cheese at Midtown Cafe. Come on down, and you can listen to us.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a little taste of the Mediterranean on a day like today?
Exactly. And I'm going to let you... welcome our next guest.
Absolutely. We are so pleased to have Jeff Reardon of the Horseshoe Pond Toastmasters with us. And how are you, Jeff?
I am great. And thank you for having me today.
Good, good, good. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And I met you through Toastmasters, actually, and know a little bit about what Toastmasters is. But until that point, there was not only did I not know what it is, I envisioned people practicing speeches to give toasts and things like that, which probably is part of it. But it's so much more than folks think. But as soon as you say the public speaking part, a lot of people think, why would anyone willingly be part of that organization? Because public speaking is what? Is it second to death, or is that something that people fear?
I think the common knowledge tells us that as far as fears go, public mm-hmm. speaking is the number one fear. So most people would rather die than get up and speak in front of a group of people.
Absolutely. So tell a little bit, just kind of a thumbnail of what Toastmasters is.
It's hard to explain because it is kind of a complex organization, but ultimately we're a global nonprofit that offers an opportunity for people that are looking to improve and build upon their communication skills. Public speaking is a big part of that, and anybody who knows anything about Toastmasters would say, oh, that's the place where you go to meetings and you give speeches. And that's one thing that we do at Toastmasters, but we have a whole program designed to help our members learn leadership skills, learn how to run a meeting, learn how to speak one-on-one and in front of a crowd. So we have people from all walks of life that join our clubs. So we have a lot of professionals because obviously, in a professional setting, you're going to have to communicate, and oftentimes you're going to have to communicate with multiple people at one time. So you do get an opportunity to build some speaking skills in that kind of capacity. But we have a lot more going on in Toastmasters.
Now, if I were, because I'm very intrigued by this, and it is my number one fear also, believe it or not.
Which is ironic.
I mean, but I'm intrigued. I'm really intrigued. Now, me as someone, you know, that would come into a group, you know, a meeting, tell me what would happen. Like, what would the meeting entail? Like, what would I be doing that night for a meeting?
Sure. You'd be a little overwhelmed, I think, because in Toastmasters.
I know I would be.
Where we overwhelm people. When we get a guest coming to our meeting, everybody goes over and introduces themselves. So probably we're overly friendly, which some people aren't comfortable with that. And then you'd see a meeting. Now, different clubs structure their meetings differently, but the basic structure is you have a Toastmaster. So each member of the club hosts the meeting from a week-to-week basis.
But take turns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're not always being the Toastmaster, and okay. that's who that person is. They're the Toastmaster. They would explain what's going to happen in the meeting. Everybody kind of takes on a role. We have many roles to fill.
So give me a for instance.
A for instance would be table topics master, okay? So during part of the meeting, there'll be a section called table topics. And this is kind of where you're given a minute or two to answer a question in front of the club. So the table topics master will have...
I'm already getting nervous.
Me too. I do this every week. So the table topics master will come up with some questions that he or she wants to ask the participants. And ultimately, they'll call on somebody. That person comes up. They ask them a question, and then the participant is given 1 to 2 minutes to formulate an answer. And what we're looking for is for them to actually craft a little speech. So we want it to have a beginning, a body, and a closing. So we actually want to keep that simple structure kind of intact during the table topics speech. Even though it's extemporaneous, it's off the cuff, this is helping people build skills. So one particular skill with this type of activity is interviewing. You know, well, sometimes people join our club while they're in between jobs, and that kind of thing, the table topics, can help them, well, answer questions off the cuff, which you have to do in an interview, just like kind of like right now, but in a job interview.
Like we're doing to you.
Exactly.
It's like a very extended table topic session.
But you're not nervous.
I am nervous. I'm feeling some nerves. But here's a saying that happens in table topics, which I really love. They say, we're not going to make the butterflies fly away, but we're going to make them fly in order. Okay, so
like
basically
that.
We know that there are going to be nerves there. So before I came to Toastmasters, if I was giving a speech or if I was giving a presentation, I would literally think that I was going to pass out or get sick in front of all these people, but it never happened. It's just what I thought was going to happen. And now I've been with Toastmasters for about 4 years. I still get those nerves, but they don't scare me like they used to, because I know I'm not going to pass out, and I probably won't get sick.
We're talking with Jeff Reardon from Horseshoe Pond Toastmasters. And yeah, it is. It's one of those skills that, as you said earlier, it's something you need to practice in order to get that to be tamed and to be sort of under your control. But just, getting to manage those nerves, as well as I liked the table topics part of the meetings that I've seen and been to. And although it is challenging and it's nerve-wracking, I mean, to have somebody say, okay, you know, for example, Carol,
no, don't do it. Don't do it.
I think that
I'm already getting
yogurt
nervous.
Day, frozen yogurt day, is the most important holiday of the year, because then you have those few minutes while you're walking up to the podium to kind of get your thoughts together.
You have to walk up to the podium too?
Yes. Oh. Yes. That could be good, because you can kind of hide behind it, you know?
Well, that's true, that you can kind of hide your, unless it's a hard podium and they can hear the trembling of the podium on the, on the table.
So we actually encourage members to come out from behind we call it a lectern. No, it's just another weird thing that we do at Toastmasters. But we say, as you get comfortable being up there, come out from behind the lectern. Let us see you. Use, you know, kind of work the crowd. And it's amazing to see people progress.
Flourish,
yes,
I bet.
It's really awesome. You know that this person is really gaining some skills and comfort with the setting here. But you'll see a new member come in, and their first table topics, they'll be holding on to that lectern like, like if they didn't, they might die. And then after they've been there for 6 months, it's a little less nervous. And after they've been there for a year, they're coming out from behind that lectern, and they're walking out into the crowd and making eye contact with everybody and using skills that we're helping people to build. You know, there are a lot of different techniques that you can use during speaking, and Toastmasters, you know, builds on that.
So is there like a lesson also during the meetings? Like, I mean, you know, you're saying this, like, okay, so when you ask the question and the person goes up and answers it, then is there like a critique? I mean,
that's an excellent question. And again, we do different things in the meeting. So in table topics, there's no critique. we vote and somebody wins table topics, but there are also formal speeches, and we call them formal because it's part of a training program, I guess you could call it. There's educational tracks. One of them is the communication track, and that is where you learn how to give speeches. So for a new member, they're given a manual, and it's called the Competent Communication Manual. And in the manual, there are 10 speeches that they have to give. So like speech number one is called the icebreaker, and this is where you just get up and you talk about yourself for 4 to 6 minutes. And you give your speech, and then we take a few minutes for everybody to write some notes. Here's some constructive feedback for you, again, helping you build upon your speaking skills. And another person who's filling a role as an evaluator does a formal evaluation for that person. So they fill out how they did, how their speech went in that person's manual, and then they give a verbal evaluation at the end of the meeting.
Now, when they do the speech, it must just have to come from not written, correct?
You can do it however you want.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
you have time to prepare those speeches.
Okay.
In the beginning, a lot of people use notes.
Okay.
But again, if you're speaking in public, you probably don't want to be using notes
right.
all the time. So
right.
So we try to help them learn how to craft their speeches in a way where they can just get up and give it. You know, one idea there is using bullet points. Instead of having your script scripted from beginning to end, think of a series of bullet points that are items you want to touch on during your speech, because it changes. Your mind works in mysterious ways. So you might say something that you never planned on saying. You might take your speech in a direction that you didn't necessarily think it was going
to
go.
But right.
For some reason, it just, you went that way, and that's when you're doing that is when you really start to feel like, hey, I can do this. I mean, I'm feeling nervous, but I think that this speech was great, and the people responded very well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And isn't it neat? And I love how, you know, you think of the bigger skills and the crafting of the speech and how you deliver it, but even some of the smaller items, and this is one that whenever I'm talking with Jeff, I become very conscious of in myself, and it's the And I fall back a little too much on that. And another member of Toastmasters, Joe, actually ended up being an instructor for a course I was taking. And he said, many times you say as a filler when you're trying to engage your brain and go in a different way. So there are many different techniques to avoid I mean, it's not flawless, right? I mean, there are still times that an will come out, but to help avoid that, because that is something that is a difficult skill to master when you're speaking.
Absolutely. Those filler words are common. You listen to anybody speak, even professionals, they use filler words. And that's one area that we try to help people with. One role during our meeting is the grammarian and counter. And that person listens to the way that we're speaking. You know, in New England, we have a certain dialect. And we might say things like wanna, and we try to put, hey, you have to say want to, and things like that. But you also listen for filler words, and you're listening to everybody. So at the end of the meeting, we give reports, and the grammarian, our counter, will say, I heard 25 and 6 so's. Let's work on that.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yes. This is very, very interesting. For those of you tuning in, you're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 FM, and we're in studio with Jeff Reardon, of Toastmasters of Horseshoe Pond in Concord, and we're going to go on a short break, and we'd love for you to come on down, 814 Elm Street. We're live here, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester, 814 Elm Street. Come on down and have lunch with us. You can come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe. And we are in studio with, very interesting, with Jeff Reardon from, I'm not sure how to say it, Toastmasters in Concord of the Horseshoe chapter? Or
Horseshoe Pond.
Horseshoe Pond.
Yeah. We're actually sponsored by Delta Dental. And if you know where Northeast Delta Dental is, they kind of abut Horseshoe Pond in Concord. That's where we get our name.
Okay. Yeah. I'm learning all kinds of stuff.
I know, isn't it? It's fascinating. Yes.
Our brains are getting bigger.
They are. It's a whole new world opening up to us. But yeah, it is. It's when you look at Toastmasters, as we've kind of talked about, there are opportunities for folks who speak professionally or need to do so for a living, but really in any walk of life, in any part of your day, we need to communicate. And as Jeff mentioned, even if it's something for a job interview or something, there are so many ways that that can come in handy, or even just to polish the way that you present yourself.
Exactly.
And to have that feedback, it would seem as though that's overwhelming if you haven't been to a meeting, but I found at the times I was able to go, two or three times, and it was actually helpful because it's kind, and what they're doing is really just saying, well, if you move around a little bit more, or I found this distracting, and perhaps if you did A, B, and C. And so it's just really helpful, that in addition to making you stretch a little bit and having to work at and practice at something that we all need to do every day.
Exactly.
What have you found that has been the biggest surprise for people that were not familiar with Toastmasters, Jeff?
I think that all it has to offer is a surprise because, again, we talked about this a little bit, but when people think of Toastmasters, they think, okay, I'm going to learn how to give speeches. Mm-hmm. But again, I said there are multiple tracks, right? So you have a communication track. That's that 10-speech program that I had mentioned, where you're building skills as you progress through those 10 speeches. After you get through that program, you can choose a different program. For instance, and these are all manuals, so a manual is a guide in creating certain types of speeches, but I recently did a manual that was called The Entertaining Speaker, and I had to do 5 different speeches that were entertaining in some way. But that's communication. There's a whole separate track called the leadership track, and this is where we're building skills that you would use as a leader. And this could be a leader in your home, a leader in your profession, but you do different kinds of activities, starting with participating in your club meetings. So again, there's roles. There's probably 10 or 12 roles to be filled during the course of a meeting, and as you do these roles, you get credit in your leadership track. But as you progress through that, the roles kind of get larger. For instance, as you get down to maybe like section 7, your objective is to coordinate an event. So one thing that we do at Toastmasters twice a year is we have speech contests. So in our club, we have, roughly 20 members. But in Concord, we have 6 clubs. Each of them have anywhere between 15 and 40 members. So if we look at Concord, we're looking at potentially, 150 Toastmasters.
Right.
The speech contest brings us all together. So what you're doing here is you're now competing at something that you weren't even comfortable doing to begin with, but now you have some experience, and now you're doing it in front of new people and different people and more people. So you start going to these club meetings where you maybe have 12 members watching you give a speech. 2 years later, you're in a speech contest, and you're speaking in front of 100. And
cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. So I think that's what surprises people, is that there's so much to it. People ask me about Toastmasters. I couldn't explain it all because there are so many moving parts, but you learn it. We say become a member. You start, at the beginning, and you'll learn as you kind of progress. There's a lot of directions you can take it. There's a lot of skills that you're going to develop, and it's not just about, speaking in front of a group. I think it's helped me communicate better with my wife.
That is probably the most important skill right there, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's crucial.
In other words, to just be quiet.
Listen.
Oh, wow.
We do focus. The Toastmaster says you have to be as good a listener as you are a speaker. And I think that's probably, I said, okay.
You hear what two
I think
women
that's what yeah. I know. I was going to say. I think that's what prevents me from joining. I really don't want to give that up. I have to get on to the smoothies part because that intrigues me about talking with Jeff. But for those, if we piqued somebody's interest and they're thinking, okay, Toastmaster sounds really neat, but I don't want to commit right away. What can they do? How can they find out about Toastmasters and how much pressure are they under?
I would say anybody who's thinking about it is under zero pressure. But what I would do is just, you know, do a online search of Toastmasters. You'll find a club in your area. Mm-hmm. Regardless of where you are, there are clubs all over the world. And go to a meeting. You can do this anonymously. You'll probably be asked if you want to participate in the meeting, but you can absolutely say no. So the pressure is zero, aside from sitting in a room with some people that you don't know.
Beautiful. And even if you attend a meeting, it's still, you can just sit, you can listen to the meeting, and you don't have to participate, you know?
Absolutely. Just observe and figure out, why are all these people clapping every 2 minutes?
It's to be encouraging and supportive, yes.
So I want to hear about these smoothies. All right,
so smoothie. I'm fixated on this because I had gone through this smoothie phase in my life because I love to buy smoothies out, and I get, you know, you get them and you fork over your $5 and $6 and they're very sweet and I love them. Then I decided I'm going to start making these at home. Why am I doing this? And then I can control the ingredients that go into it. So I would make them with frozen fruit and some juice and, you know, some yogurt. And, of course, I needed to sweeten it with some sugar. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm healthy, too. I'm doing smoothies. And Jeff and I had this conversation one time. And then he was describing some of the smoothies he's making. And
I know. I can't wait to hear this.
He's probably like, why are you putting me on the spot like this? I don't know. Just a couple of the examples of what he puts in his do not sound
like yours?
Like mine at all.
Okay, so I need to hear this.
Well, just to forewarn, it probably is going to sound gross to most people, but I started doing smoothies a while ago, and I still do them most mornings. That's how
you
start my day. But ultimately, my mother got sick. She was diagnosed with cancer, and my response to that is I got to do some research. And I just found out that a lot of that kind of stuff has to do with nutrition. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, one big lesson that I learned is we have to eat more whole foods in the form of fruits and vegetables. So I started looking at recipes for smoothies, and they were green, you know, a lot of green ingredients. So kale, spinach, herbs and fruits, so strawberries, blueberries, ginger. So I don't make my smoothies to be delicious. I make them to be healthy. So but it turns out that they're not that bad. So usually what I do is I have some organic frozen fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And the night before, I'll take my smoothie jar and I'll put the frozen food in there. So they thaw out in the fridge a little bit overnight. And then, so I'll usually have some cilantro. Mm-hmm. I'll have some parsley. I'll have some kale or spinach, but not too much because, you know, that's not what you want your smoothie to be about. But then I'll just add a whole bunch of vegetables. So I could throw in a banana, some apple or strawberry, blueberries. My wife and I have these beautiful blueberry bushes, and we collect our blueberries and freeze them. So even right now, I'm using blueberries right out of my backyard, which
nice.
Is pretty cool. And then I just maybe add a little protein powder of uh-huh. some sort
yeah.
into it and
blend away.
Blend away.
What do you use for liquid?
I actually use coconut milk.
Okay.
It's you know, I'm not totally sold on the coconut milk, but it does have a nice sweet flavor to it, which I never realized coconut has that, mm-hmm. which makes me suspicious. But it does it does make the smoothie, I think, very flavorful in a good way. So it adds that sweetness. Mm-hmm. If I feel like more sweetness, I'll use like agave. But I found the more I drank them, the less I needed that.
Right.
So I think my tastes have changed to say, okay, this is actually pretty good. The worst part is sometimes it doesn't come out looking, you know, like a beautiful pink smoothie.
Or probably even a beautiful green. There's got to be sometimes that it's just like a weird brown or...
Had brown. I've had people say, what are you drinking? That's looks gross, but it's not.
Now, does it pass the kid test?
I have to make my kids a lot different.
Yeah.
A lot different.
They must have to look pink.
They do have to be pink or like purple from the blueberries, but basically no vegetables. It has to be pure fruit. But still, if I banana and strawberry with a little bit of milk, they love that. And that's what a great way to get some
absolutely
some good food into your kids.
You're still controlling the ingredients and you're controlling the amount of, you know, sugar that goes in or doesn't go in.
Yeah. And with that, with strawberries, or actually a banana is a great way to sweeten things. Mm-hmm. But there's no sugar aside from, I guess,
natural sugar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Ah. See, that was my intriguing thing, because the contrast between what I thought of as a smoothie and what he's drinking to be healthy was,
I've been in my thinking healthy phase this week, and, well, I'm continuing on, hopefully, for forever. We'll see. But I was looking at some smoothie recipes, and I just bought some coconut milk to do some smoothies. I haven't used it yet. Well, I just got it yesterday. But so I'm anxious now to try that.
Yeah,
so you mix basically fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, with a little bit of coconut milk.
Coconut milk. Do you put ice?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, I don't do any ice. And as a matter of fact, I think it's very important that those frozen fruits and vegetables get a little bit thawed out. Otherwise,
Idea the night before. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Have it all ready and then just stick it on. And...
Yeah, well, who has time in the morning? I mean, I have two young children, so it's like a circus every morning at my house, so I have to be ready to go. So I just add some milk and a couple of fresh fruits and vegetables and blend away, and off we go.
There we go.
That's perfect. I mean, really. So, but as you said, once you start getting into that mode, you don't miss the sugar as much. And then when you do taste some sugar, it feels like, wow, that is just a overwhelming taste of sweetness.
And, you start to feel better, too.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't want to change that feeling because, you know, then when you start eating something that's not good, you all of a sudden you're altered. Like, So
it is amazing how quickly good food can affect you in a good way.
Absolutely.
Jeff, thank you so much. Again,
thank you for
we learned
having me.
So much. What another great lesson. I'm anxious possibly to try a Toastmasters meeting.
Why not?
I'm very intrigued. I will let you know if I do.
Okay.
I definitely will. You are listening to Food for Thought.